will mention it.
Mention it all. Mention it all. I'm earning my own living.
Hello, I'm back, and welcome to an all-new episode of Mention It All. Oh, I have so much to talk about today. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of TV. We've had the premiere of Bachelor in Paradise. We've had, you know, 4 episodes. We've had Southern Charm, the finale episode. And then, of course, we've been still keeping up with Potomac and the new season of The Real Housewives of Orange County. So I feel like there's just so much going on our televisions and in the world. I do want to touch on the death of Jeffrey Epstein. It's one of the few things that everyone in America can agree on, that this is truly, you know, a conspiracy of JFK proportions. And there's so many different theories, you guys, and who really knows? Who can say? Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's still alive. Maybe, you know, and like all the people who would potentially be responsible for having some kind of like cooperation or participation in his death, all the people who would have benefit from his death would also benefit from him disappearing. So I really don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know where he is. I don't know what I believe. And I just need some more time to really reflect, on that. Because it's like, you know, obviously everyone from Bill Clinton to the royal family to, you know, wealthy diplomats and famous people from around the world had something to lose. Like, I don't know if people saw, but there was that New York Times article where the guy's basically like, I interviewed Epstein like in 2015 because I wanted to know about his relationship with Elon Musk. And he basically told me he had like a lot of dirt on people. And then like the reporter was like, I didn't follow up on that though. Like, I was just like, tell me more about Elon Musk. And it's like, why didn't you follow up on that? That's clearly the most interesting part of the story. Male journalists, what can you do? Also, as a half-Jewish woman, I find it so annoying and frustrating when, like, Jews turn out to be, like, perverts with a connection to Israel. It's like, can we not? Or, like, thieves with a connection to Israel. Like, you're making us all look bad with this. It's not good for the Jews. As everyone always used to say about Jill Zarin, not good for the Jews. I happen to think Jill Zarin was better for the Jews than like Epstein and Bernie Madoff. And oh, the list goes on and on. But I mean, that's something I've been struggling with. It's like, really, Epstein, why did you have to do this to us? It's like, enough is enough. Alan Dershowitz, why are you doing this to us? Enough is enough. So before I get into some of our Bravo shows, I am going to touch on Bachelor in Paradise, which so far is a high recommend. It's a very entertaining season. It's interesting to me because I feel like almost everyone is going in there pretending like it's their personal season of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like, they're all a little confused about the premise. Like, this is Bachelor in Paradise. It's not your show, Hannah G, or Blake, or Mike, or any number of people who are there right now, particularly Hannah G, who we do have to talk about. Guys, I always felt like Hannah G was such an angel, so beautiful and perfect. And now just watching what she's done to Dylan in these first couple episodes, I mean, I'm disgusted. And the fact that basically, the deal is Hannah G gets there. People are like, oh, what's going to happen with you and Blake? Unexplained, though. Like, the people are just saying that. You don't really know why. And then Blake asks Tayshia out on a date. And then, like, Dylan and Hannah G sort of, like, develop a thing. And they're, like, making out and hanging out together all the time. And it's super cute. I don't remember what season Dylan was from, but he's adorable. And I think he's like one of the breakout stars of Paradise so far. But Hannah G is like hanging out with Dylan. And then when all the shit starts going down with Blake and all these other girls calling him out, basically Tayshia's like, I want nothing to do with you, which respect to Tayshia for that. But Hannah G then like seems to see this as an opportunity for her to pursue the thing with Blake. Now, this week she admitted to Dylan that Blake had flown out to Alabama or wherever she lives, to see her. Birmingham, yes, Birmingham, Alabama. That Blake had flown out there like a week before Paradise, and they had clearly been talking because it was mentioned in the text messages that came out between Blake and Kaylin. And when I say came out, Blake released these text messages. It's already such a tangled web, and I'm only like 3 minutes into talking about it. But anyway, Blake allegedly also went to go see Hannah a week before the show happened. And Hannah decides to wait until like after she's made out with Blake and like is really confusing and upsetting Dylan to tell Dylan that like they had something going on before they even got there. And I just felt like that was fucked up. Like, I think what she should have done is like, when you started like pursuing something with Dylan, you should have been completely transparent and been like, yeah, like Blake and I were kind of talking before I came here, but like now I've met you and I'm like really enjoying it. But like, you know, I do kind of want to maybe see what happens there and, you know, like just prepare him so he's not like brutally hurt when you're like kissing Blake on the beach. And I get that that's an uncomfortable thing to say, but like, I actually don't really understand why people like avoid stuff like that. Like every time I was in some kind of a complicated situation or open relationship or whatever, I feel like I always tried to be extremely transparent with people like before we hooked up or like before anything happened, where I'd be like, hey, like I'm open, but like my heart is like also partially not open at the same time. And like that could change, like you could change that, but I do need to be like clear with you that like my attentions or my heart might be divided in certain ways, or I do have like some level of commitment or interest to someone else in my heart. I don't know. That's what I would do. So I was disappointed in Hannah G for that. And I just feel like, yeah, she's just like taking it too far. It's like, oh, you turned on Jordan, but now you're just gonna like let whoever kiss you on this beach. I don't understand it. Who else did she kiss? She kissed another guy too, I think. I don't even remember. It's like too many people to count. Not as many people as Blake, however. Blake, so the running count is Blake dated Christina, fucked her at Stagecoach, then slept with Kaylin the next night. Blake had been talking to Hannah G and visited her in Birmingham. And also had a thing for Tayshia the whole time, because that's another thing that he allegedly discussed with Kaylin. Now, just to quickly break down the Kaylin Blake situation, Blake went on Instagram and was like, I need to be honest, like I'm putting this out there, and posted all these text messages between him and Kaylin. Now, I do think the selected text messages, the screenshots, painted like an unflattering story of Kaylin, unflattering picture, where they were basically like, basically it was like he didn't show anything other than like her at Stagecoach being like, I'm coming over, and like basically wanting to fuck, and him being like, no, and her being like, yes, I'm coming over. And then afterwards they're texting and they're like, oh, so we're like gonna be honest about this, or like, you know, like basically talking about it in that way. And she seems fine. Like she doesn't seem as broken up about it as she's making it out to be on the show. But then I saw her post in response where she basically was like, listen, like this is like a small snapshot of a bigger picture. It does not take into account like our whole interaction, our whole relationship, which I understand. It's like, clearly she would not have been being like, I'm coming over right now, if they hadn't been, in fact, as she said, talking before Stagecoach, or like she said that they were like FaceTiming and like talking all the time and like considering maybe even like not going to Paradise because like they were interested in each other. So, I mean, she had all that going on. She was like very honest about that. And then it's very possible that like after they were texting, they also talked on the phone. And she started to feel like bad and shitty about things, and like she's mistreated, or sort of like, you know, a dirty secret or whatever. Like, do I think that Kaylin is milking it like to get sympathy on the show? Absolutely. But I do like, I don't think that it's the picture that Blake is trying to paint by any means. Now, we've all heard tell, and we've seen the beginnings of this relationship that's going to emerge between Kaylin and Dean. Now, I hated Dean on his season, and I mean, I didn't hate him, but I felt really bad for him. And I also thought he just hadn't had to do a lot of work on himself because of the way that he handled his crazy father. If you guys might remember, his father was like this, very like hippied out dude who like obviously like was neglectful in certain ways, and like Dean has a lot of resentments toward him. And I just feel like Dean, my opinion was Dean needed to like accept the parts of him that were like his father, accept his father, live that lifestyle, like be true to who he was instead of pretending to be this totally well-adjusted person. Like get attuned to like the where you come from and like the type of energy and vibes that you were raised with and like who you are inside. And I think he's done that. He grew a horrible mustache. He's like living in a van, which I feel like has his dad written all over it. So I really like what I'm seeing of Dean so far. And I think like it's exactly what I sort of hoped that he would do with his time after The Bachelor or The Bachelorette rather. And he wrote a response to Blake basically being like, it's disgusting that you would like take a woman's words out of context and like basically try to slut shame her, and like this was not your place and it's like very inappropriate. And I highly recommend reading Dean's response if you guys want to search it out, because I felt like it was inspired, and I think it made me more excited about the Dean and Kaylin relationship. I think they both like really deserve to be happy, and I think they both maybe like sometimes pretend to be a certain kind of person, so maybe they would be a good match. Maybe they would like bring out more authentic sides of each other. Who knows? We also have Chris Bukowski's back. Now, I never thought I'd see that face or that hear that name again. You will never see this face again. Goodbye, Tamra. Real Housewives of Orange County, running alongside the pool. I never thought I'd see Chris Bukowski again, but here he is. Now, for those of you who don't know or remember, Chris Bukowski was on, I want to say, Emily Maynard's season. And then he was on season three of Bachelor Pad, which was the pre-Bachelor in Paradise competition show that was sort of like a for love or money thing. It was a very similar premise to Paradise, but in the end, like the couple had to choose between love or money. The winning couple. So he was on Bachelor Pad. He was on two seasons of The Bachelor, Bachelorette rather. And then he was on, I think, two seasons of Bachelor in Paradise, the first two. And by the time he got to that second one, you were like, get the fuck out of here, Chris Bukowski. Like, who do you think you are? And so it's so interesting to see him now because he's got like salt and pepper hair. He seems older. He seems wiser. I like the idea of a him and Christina relationship. I would like love to see where that goes. Because I think that she's like wise beyond her years. I think he's Polish, she's Eastern European. I mean, who knows? Also, I just feel like they look cute together, and he seems to like actually want to settle down at this point. So I'm really hoping that Chris Bukowski finds love. We got to give a shout out to the pensive gentleman, Jordan. Jordan is here, and Jordan is just giving us all he's got. Like at the end of the most recent episode, Jordan was about to pick a fight with someone who he didn't even have a conflict with just because it's his beach. That's another thing. Everyone keeps being like, this is my beach. And it's like, it's not all of your beaches. Like, I do think it's Jordan's beach, though. And he's about to cause like what appears to be the biggest fist fight in Bachelor history. Like, I don't think we've ever had quite such a physical fight like that. So I'm extremely excited to see that. We've got Cam. Now we're almost feeling bad for Cam at this time. ABC, Always Be Cam. He came on with a rap. It was horrible. I mean, we don't really want to see more of him. But Kaylin being the, resourceful girl that she is, completely used Cam the night before the first rose ceremony where the guys were giving out the roses. Kaylin just like went to Cam, made out with him, pretended like she was interested in him, and now Cam is like gonna be completely blindsided by her connection with Dean. And it's just a little sad and pathetic. Like, it made me actually feel more sympathy for Cam than I ever thought that I could. Who else do we have? We also have Nicole. I don't understand why every single guy wants to ask out Nicole. I think there's cuter girls there. We had Bibiana and Annalise. They already went home, thank God, because I can't stand looking at Annalise's face. Of course, we have Tayshia, I think, has like started to develop a little thing with John Paul Jones, which is like an odd couple, but might work. And John Paul Jones, he's one of those characters that I don't understand why, but like Bachelor Nation has decided that he's interesting and funny and that they're obsessed with him. So he's like the one of the main characters of Bachelor Paradise. And I'm actually kind of enjoying him. One of the great moments was when that girl gave him those tacos and they were so spicy that he was like throwing up in the beach. He was like, and then you'd be like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And then be like, that was a really special moment. Classic paradise moment. Up there was salad, or up there was scallop fingers for me. Does anyone remember scallop fingers? That was that girl who ate scallops with her fingers and disgusted everyone. And then the next time we saw her, she was eating shrimp. She was constantly eating shellfish. Could not stop eating shellfish. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break because I feel like that's kind of all I got for Bachelor in Paradise for now. And when I'm back, I will be covering, as I said, in no particular order, Southern Charm, Real Housewives of Orange County, and The Real Housewives of Potomac. Okay, I'm back. This is Mention It All. I'm ready to dive in to The Real Housewives of Orange County. We've had two episodes so far. Now, this is our first season where Vicky is not a main housewife. She didn't even appear at all in the first episode, but we did have a lot of conversation about her. So I think that just goes to show that, I don't know, it seems like Bravo is trying to prove a point with the whole like not making Vicky a housewife thing, because everyone is sort of, I feel like everyone shares this sentiment that like, I don't want to see Gina and Emily live their lives when Victoria Ann Gumbelson is not involved. Like, I don't care to see their personal plot lines. I would rather see Victoria Ann Gumbelson, like, like, would drink a glass of wine with Steve Lodge, like, any day, and like, be like, will you marry me? Just kidding. Or like, I would rather see Victoria Ann Gumbelson, like, do that snoring thing that she does when she's bored when someone's talking. Like, just literally do absolutely anything. Like, I'd rather watch her walk down the street. I'd rather catch up with that woman who works for her Coto Insurance. So I forget her name, but she's a great side character. I'd rather catch up with that lady and Vicky than for one second have to deal with Gina and Emily's tragic lives. Guys, let's start with Gina. Gina has three young children. Gina's going through a divorce. Gina has this new house that's just like filled with home goods stuff, which obviously is better than the casita that she was living in. But it's horrible. There's a television that's not on a television stand. She's like on the floor. I mean, her iPhone screen is broken and she's not Catherine Dennis, so I don't need to see that. It's just like, we know that Gina, like, I'm very sympathetic to Gina because we know, like, through the news that basically she now has a restraining order from the guy she's getting divorced from, and that he was physically abusive to her in some context. Now, I don't know if he was physically abusive during their marriage, but he was definitely physically abusive post the marriage, and that's why she got the restraining order. It was a whole thing. So, like, yes, I feel for her. I truly do. But, like, between her highlights and her hats, and I mean, all of it's just like, it's totally tragic. I feel like I liked her more last season because she was just sort of like an honest breath of fresh air. But like, now she's just starting to really annoy me. Emily, that brings us to Emily. Emily seems like a nice person, but like, I can't watch her life. Like, she's alone with those little children who are monsters, and they're like, he stole my chips, and just like screaming all the time. And she's completely alone because Shane, her pitiful wimp of a husband is studying for the bar exam, and he keeps going to the library or his parents' house, and she's literally handling everything by herself. Like in this week's episode, she threw a party for his parents for like one of their birthday or something. And so they're all over at the house and she's throwing this party and he's not even there. And then she called him and he was like, "This is harassment. Like, why do you keep calling me?" Like, just like being such a little twerp, such a twerp, such a monster. I've also heard that he did not pass the bar exam that he was studying for, still hasn't passed the bar. And I've also heard on the down, down low that we can sort of anticipate that she will file for divorce fairly soon. Which, like, yeah, Emily, you should. Like, get the fuck out of there. Would I be interested in Emily's life without Shane? Probably not, because he's horrible and there's really nothing about her that is funny or fascinating beyond the fact that she's married to this dweeb. So, you know, I don't think that her life will be long on the show, nor do I think Gina's will be. And I resent having to watch scenes with them and their families, or like, you know, like Gina, like trying to get ready for a date and complaining about how like he doesn't understand emojis because he's older than her. Like, who cares? I just don't care. I need more Vicky in the place of this because it's just useless. Which brings us to what's going on with like Vicky and Kelly. Now, it seems like Kelly just is at the point where she's like, I can't forgive this. People have been, whoever these monsters are, if you're out there, if you're listening to my podcast, please stop. Monsters literally contacting her daughter, who's like 12, 13, sending her messages being like, your mom's like a coke whore, like just saying horrible, horrible stuff. And all because Victoria Ann Gumbelson decided to say that Kelly Dodd does cocaine. Do I believe that Kelly Dodd does cocaine? Sure. I believe many housewives have used cocaine, and I have no judgment for that. I don't personally use cocaine anymore, but I understand that it's a fun party drug, and, you know, obviously it's a little more dangerous nowadays, so it was fentanyl here, there, and everywhere, but respect. It's not something I choose to do with my time. Certainly wouldn't choose to do it as a 40, 56-year-old woman, but God bless. It's like, you know, I don't know if Dorinda's long for this world. It's like, you can't do that amount of blow and alcohol and expect to have like stunning health at the age of 60. Or Ramona, she's another one. Like, they're just itching for a heart attack, both those ladies. I worry about them all the time. So do I believe that Kelly Dodd is doing cocaine? Sure. Cause why not? But do I think it was appropriate for Vicky to bring that up? No. Is it typical of Vicky to bring up low blows that may or may not be true? Absolutely. So it's what I expect from her. And, you know, I don't know that it's fair for me to ask of Kelly Dodd to just lead with forgiveness for Victoria, but, I always forgive Vicky for everything that she does. I mean, she lied about cancer and I still forgive her. And I still believe in part of my heart that she was just dirty johned by Brooks, that she really didn't know. Maybe she just didn't want to know. Who knows? Who knows what the complexities of that are? But she has said herself that, you know, dirty John reminds her of her life and of her situation with Brooks. Okay, so we've still got Tamara. Now, we're dealing with a situation with Tamara's son, Ryan, who has always been a terrifying monster, but I think it's even worse at this point. For those of you who don't know, so like on the show, what we see is that Ryan is arguing with Tamara's younger son, Spencer, who seems like an angel from heaven, because Spencer said, if you want to build the wall, like that's racist. And it seems that Ryan is a huge Donald Trump supporter. Spencer is not. And I'm just confused, like how did Tamara... Tamara's explanation for this was that she sent Ryan to daycare and like, that's why he is a monster. But it's very interesting that she has such radically different children, that the older son is like that. And the younger ones seem very cool. Obviously we don't know that much about the one who doesn't talk to her, but the other Sophia and Spencer, who we have seen, like they seem like really interesting kids. So good for you, Spencer, for standing up for what's right. Calling a racist like you see it. But so Ryan's talking about this and he's like, there's nothing wrong with loving America. Now, off camera, concurrently, in real time, Ryan's ex, Sarah, posts these screenshots from texts that he'd sent her calling their daughter a little bitch. And then sent her a picture of a bullet, basically saying, like, this is for you. And so she got a restraining order against him. Tamra, a couple of days ago, went over there to like yell at her about that, like after the restraining order, because she had to call the police to stop him from coming and getting the kid because he was violating the restraining order by coming to get the daughter. Now, this is a terrifying situation. I don't know who's going to snap and murder their whole family first, whether it'll be this Ryan or Vicky's daughter, Brianna's husband, Ryan. Former Marine. Now, I always thought the former Marine had it in him, but in this day and age, you really can't anticipate who's gonna flip the script like that and just kill everyone one of these days. But yeah, oh, and Ryan also let it drop. I found this to be an interesting tidbit. He, in retaliation to his ex, posted that she had been going to hotel rooms to have sex with Dakota Meyer, who is the husband, former husband of Bristol Palin. So while Dakota Meyer was still with Bristol Palin, apparently Sarah, Ryan's ex and the mother of his daughter, was going to hotel rooms to have sex with Dakota Meyer. Now I enjoyed this because it was like very like, oh, like small world of like weird conservatives kind of thing, like who are pseudo famous and have a lot of kids. Like it's like, of course, Bristol Palin's ex would somehow be involved in this. Of course, a teen mom person would somehow be involved with this. So that's an interesting little tidbit, I think. Which brings us to obviously the star of the show is Kelly Dodd. Now, Kelly Dodd, thank God she's there. Thank God for Jolie, who seems wise beyond her years. Now, at this point on the show, Kelly is dating this plastic surgeon named Dr. Brian Regan, who is creepy and weird. And I'm very, very pleased to say that she's no longer with him. She has a new boyfriend. She's officially broken up with him. She said that Brian Regan cheated on her and basically like used her to promote his business, which no shit. He was very, very weird and creepy like that. Like there's that whole scene in his office with like all the flowers and like, I mean, it was a lot. It was definitely a lot. And he just, I don't know, he doesn't like seem like a pedophile to me, but like he just gives me creepy vibes. That makes sense. Like pseudo pedophile vibes, maybe a pedophile vibe. And Kelly just as Kelly, like her tagline is like, oh my God, what exactly was it? It's like, hold on, I have to look it up. Give me a second. Got it. So this is a classic Kelly Dodd tagline, in my opinion. And she says, if you don't want me to cross the line, don't draw one. And that is so Kelly because everything's like, everything in her life is like if she's rude or inappropriate or over the top, like it's your fault. And it is, it truly is. And like that's the law by which she lives her life. And thank God for that. Like we need more housewives like that who are just willing to call it like they see it, to be emotional, to wear their heart on their sleeve. And I think that's why she's such a classic housewife and has, you know, basically usurped Vicky because it seemed like at the end of last season, she was like, well, I'm gonna leave if you guys are gonna allow Vicky to like make claims about me using cocaine and this, that, and the other thing. And then production responded by reducing Vicky to a friend role. So it seems at this point that Kelly probably has the most clout on the show. She's certainly the one that fans are the most interested in. She just kept me laughing everything she said the whole time. I'm really enjoying her. I think the majority of the season she's going to be still close with Tamra and Shannon, but at this point they've all fallen out. So it will be a really interesting reunion. It'll be really interesting to see what happens over the course of the season and how this falling out occurs. Now, before we close out on Orange County, I do want to take some time to talk about the new housewife, Bronwyn. Bronwyn has seven kids, and it's a, you know, it's a gaggle of kids, all ages. I actually really enjoyed her family. I enjoyed her kids. I enjoyed her husband. I love her mom, Dr. Deb. She has this very interesting background because her mom, Dr. Deb, is like this insane, like Burning Man style hippie. I highly recommend looking at her Instagram. I also highly recommend checking out Dr. Deb's partner's Instagram, which you can find through Dr. Deb. It's their lifestyle is I envy it, I admire it, I'm afraid of it. Just so many different emotions that I feel when I see them. He's deeply tanned. I mean, you have to see it to truly understand. You'll understand what I mean once you just have like a look at a single photo of them. And Bronwyn, the first thing that's like endeared Bronwyn to me as far as a housewife goes is these people seem to have real money. You know, he works in tech or something, and it seems like he made a lot of his money at a young age and has been able to sort of back off of working as much, spend more time with his family. They seem very much in love. They had like an Eddie Tamara style disgusting scene where they went to their, you all know, remember the one that I'm referring to in the bathtub, which is why her daughter doesn't talk to her. But they go to this like condo that they own that's like basically just for sex because they have seven children. And it's like, you know, the only people that I approve of having all having kids like that are really rich people. Like, because it's like, okay, well, you can give like attention and you can give like resources to all those children. Whereas like a lot of people can't and still do have a lot of kids. So with them, I do understand it because it's like, okay, you can still take care of your marriage. You can take care of like everything that those kids would need. So they go to their condo that is just like their sex pad and they subject us to a Tamara and Eddie style scene. But I enjoyed it and I like them so far. She just seems fun. She seems to have a good personality. She's like she's like similar age, similar vibe to the girls. Shannon liked her right away for the first time ever. We know Shannon always reacts horribly to new housewives, but Shannon liked her right away. I think she just fits. She fits nicely. So I will be very curious and excited to watch her journey. Apparently she sort of takes Vicky's place in the Tres Amigas, but you know, I'm really over the Tres Amigas thing. I know all of you guys are too. That's all I have for Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back with either Southern Charm or Potomac. We'll see.
You said call 911.
Why doesn't she leave?
Should I call 911? No.
Oh, welcome back. More mention at all. That was Ashley from Southern Charm after being promptly escorted out of Patricia's party, calling Thomas on the phone, getting off the phone and saying, he says, call 911. Should I call 911? To her friend, and the friend just was like completely silent, like no, like shaking her head. Oh my goodness, Ashley Jacobs, wow. So Southern Charm has ended with not a whimper, not a bang either, but it was a finely rendered episode, I would say. The previous episode, there was a fox hunt at Eliza's home. Catherine delivered a great line where she said something like, she was like, I swear, I think she just Googles like Southern activities. And it does seem that way, but I really enjoyed the fox hunt scene, mainly for Craig's babushka that he had wrapped around his head. That was sort of like the iconic moment of that scene. So tensions are mounting as we head into the finale episode where Patricia is throwing this party that will be like the culmination, typical Southern Charm fashion. Now, the first big conflict, obviously, is the whole Austin, Shep, Madison, Danny situation. All those people are involved in sort of different contexts, but primarily Shep and Madison, but also Shep seems to be mad at Austin as well. And where we left off was Madison had spilled the tea that Shep allegedly gave Danny chlamydia. Did that on camera, not a cute move. Guys, I listened to Madison on Kate Casey's podcast, and I don't know, like, I liked her a lot more before I listened to that. Like, she seemed like when she, it was before that episode aired, and she was like very smug talking about, she's like, well, I like definitely fight back for myself, and like I say some things, and like I don't know. It just her vibe about it, I thought was weird. Like, I would be way more embarrassed if I were her, even with all the drama that's gone down with like Danny postseason. Like, it's just not cool. Like, that's a bridge too far. And also, I just found her to be like kind of stupid, maybe. I don't know. I would be really curious what everyone else thinks, if anyone else listens to Kate Casey's podcast and had thoughts about her interview with Madison, let me know. I had to turn it off because she just seems like narcissistic and boring and like not very smart, which is not really how she came off. Very fascinating on this season of Southern Charm, but I was not impressed with her on this interview. So basically, the finale comes, this party at Patricia's comes. We know that Catherine was bringing her new boyfriend, who she's still with, a little country singer named Hunter Price. I mean, I don't mean little in stature, though he is a smaller man. I think he's potentially shorter than her, like the same height. Maybe she's taller in heels. But he seems adorable and he seems to really, really care about her. Like, her, Catherine's mom passed away last week. Rest in peace to Catherine Dennison's mom. Moment of silence. And he wrote like a very like loving tribute to Catherine as a person and mom, and you know, just super, super sweet. So I'm happy for her that she's with someone who's age appropriate, who seems normal, who seems to live a similar life to her. So good for you, Catherine and Hunter. And, you know, they get to Patricia's party. She sort of like makes amends with Whitney. And you can tell Whitney, as good as says, like, I didn't want to mess with like either of our reputations more or make us look bad, you know, which does make sense, where it's like her with, you know, the custody battle with Thomas, and which, by the way, that was settled. They now have they have official joint custody. But, you know, it's a win for her. It's not as big of a win as I think we all would have liked to see. We would like to see the kids with her full time, but neither of them are allowed to drink or take any type of drugs when they're with the children. There's a lot of rules that go into this custody agreement, which is good. Hopefully it's good for Kenzie and Saint. So Whitney and Catherine kind of make amends, and then Shep and Craig show up. And Shep and Craig have decided to invite to this event the two girls who are in that famous, infamous video with Austin and Madison, the threesome girls. So they invite them, and it's like pretty transparent. It's like you're just trying to get under Austin and Madison's skin and cause drama, and it's petty and pretty low and lame and honestly not even that entertaining. It's like, once the initial gag hits you, like, there was nothing to what they did, because Austin and Madison rightfully like didn't overreact to the situation. It was really funny when they arrived and like Craig was saying that they'd brought them, and Catherine was like, "You did that, you dick." And I do think Craig, it's like he plays like he's so intelligent and he knows what's going on all the time. And it's like, okay, which is it, Craig? Like, are you like a lawyer or master of the universe and you can read everyone like a book? Or like, are you dumb enough that like you didn't realize that Shep was doing this to be a dick? Like, it's like, no, you're an idiot. You went along with it. Because like, as soon as he gets there, he's like, well, if they're good, then it should be fine. And everyone's like, that is not an excuse, Craig. And he's like, oh shit. You know, like, it like just hit him there. Such a fucking moron. I can't. I've heard tell that Craigie comes out in the reunion and like confesses to his Adderall addiction, which, duh. Thank you for coming clean after all these years. So Shep and Madison sit down together, and you know, they sort of talk, and it really doesn't go anywhere. And it sounds, they both sound crazy. Like, she thinks that she's being really clever. He thinks he's being really clever. Neither of them are being clever at all. The one highlight of that conversation to me was, at one point Craig kind of like walks over like with a drink, like as if to hang out with them. And he's sort of looming there, and Shep says, "Craig, can you fuck off, please?" And Craig just goes, sure, and turns around and walks away. Oh, that was delicious. So then Madison and Shep obviously don't come to a resolution. Obviously, that's going to be explored more in the reunion. And then we have the entrance of Ashley Jacobs. She just like shows up towards the end of the party and she goes up to Patricia and she's like, Patricia, like, I'd love to talk to you. But she's like, hi, how are you doing? And then just as quickly, Patricia's like, may I introduce you to Mr. Kale? And then turns and walks away. Mr. Kale is the owner of a security firm, an international securities firm, who is doing security for Patricia at this party. And first of all, his name's Mr. Kale, as in kale. And second of all, I love that Patricia, she didn't have like some random guy who that guy sent. Like, she had the owner of the company itself, like, personally doing her security. Which, it's just one of those delightful little details about Patricia, about like someone who truly lives that life. So Patricia turns, walks away. Just as soon as she turns her body, she turns the other way, jets. Mr. Kale is like, I'm going to have to ask you to leave, and starts escorting Ashley out. Ashley makes like a mini scene and then goes downstairs. She's calling Thomas and she's like, Thomas, what do? Thomas, they kicked me out. And Thomas, I guess, tells her to call 911, which is completely insane. And then her friend's like, no, don't do that. And just as soon as it began, it ends. Did anyone feel like the season was kind of short? To me, it was a little short. Like, I could have dealt with a little bit more. Maybe that's just me. But I am looking forward to the reunion because I feel like a lot has gone down in the interim and it seems like this reunion is going to be really chock full, really exciting. Okay, so moving on to Potomac. The ladies are in Cayman Islands. They decide to go on this vacation. Robin, of course, misses her flight because she's always late. And they all get there and immediately, as these ladies love to do, they have a fight in the lobby of the hotel. Karen versus Giselle. So Karen and Giselle are supposed to room together. And then it's like Giselle picks another fight with Karen where it's like Karen apologizes to her basically for being like, if I said anything that offended you, like, I'm very, very sorry. And Giselle is like, okay, but like, that's not really being a friend. And it's like, Giselle, can you just accept that like sometimes people are going to be upset at you, as Karen was for like implying that she wasn't upset about her parents when she was on Instagram Live that time when all of you were hanging out. It's like, let her have that. It's just like, I don't know. Giselle always needs to push the point like a little too far. It's like, I really just accept it. Just move on. But no, she will never do that. She'll be like, you're not really a friend. And it's like, why do you always need to have like, to be like the one with like, who says what everyone is in every situation? And everyone's mad at her. And it's so crazy because as she's walking away in this scene, deciding not to stay in the same room with Karen after screaming at her in a hotel lobby, she's like, everyone knows that I've been like changing myself and like working hard on myself. And I was like, have you? Like, do you think that's your plotline this season? Because I have not observed that at all. And everyone is mad at you. Even your best friend Robin is mad at you. And next episode, Robin is going to basically get into it with Giselle for causing all that drama at her open house thing. I will say about the open house thing though, it's like, honestly, Robin, like, you should not have invited those women there if you wanted it to be like a professional business thing. It's like, you can't have it both ways. I don't know. I don't understand that. She's really like not allowed to be mad at that. Although as a friend, like, yes, of course, I would be annoyed with my friend. If like, because you expect your friend of all people to like keep it together, even if other people aren't. So I do understand that. Candace and Ashley like somewhat resolve things, but then Ashley zeroes in on Katie. Now everyone has been throwing Katie under the bus, saying that Katie called Michael gay, that her boyfriend said this, that, and the other thing, when really like everyone was having a conversation about Michael's sexuality and like they brought that stuff, like they just added on. And like, yes, Katie did call her stupid, but like, you know, it's neither. It's really Katie's ultimate point when she's coming back at Ashley is like, literally everyone is talking about you. And Ashley's trying to be like, oh, I opened up to you. Like, you're my friend. Once again, Giselle jumping in being like, she really doesn't open up to people that easily. Like, shut the fuck up, Giselle. Like, you're sitting on your couch eating popcorn, watching them on Fox, like, weave their web of lies. And that brings me to something I've been thinking about. I really hate Ashley. I hate her, and I do not want her to be on the show anymore. And I'm disgusted that she's going to continue to be on this show and that Michael continues to be on the show. And now we have to, like, embrace them and their baby. Like, I will never do that. Also, has anyone seen photographs of that baby, the child? This child looks exactly like Michael. He looks like a 108-year-old man in a baby's body. And the photograph that People published of him is absolutely disgusting. Like, see, I hate that these people are getting money from People magazine for photographs of their baby. Like, he is a molester. She is just like a petty hypocrite. I mean, the things that she was saying, like the little snide comments to Katie, it's like, first of all, she picked a fight with her by being like, oh, like not the first time you've lied. Like when Katie's like, oh yeah, I told Candace I would come to her room and I forgot. And they're going out to the beach before dinner. And like under her breath, Ashley's like, oh, like, cause you're like so truthful all the time. And Katie's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to say something, say it. Like if you're hurt because you thought that she was your friend and now she's talking about you, then like pull her aside and be like, what the fuck? Like, I really trusted you. And like, you're telling people like personal stuff about me or like things that I entrusted you with, or you're like turning things around to make me look bad. And it really hurts me. Like, just say that, but she can't do that. And then she starts saying Katie's boyfriend is like broke and living in her house. And she says, you're hiding on your farm, like out of reality, and you need to fill the void in your heart and stop filling the void between your legs, which is pretty rich coming from someone who is married to a guy clearly for the money and security and is a complete fake and phony and lies and covers up the fact that he gropes people and is a lamentable creep. And she's lying about the restaurant because she's saying that they didn't sell it. She's saying that it's not closing, but we all know the restaurant has in fact closed. So I don't know why she's lying and saying we still are financially involved with the restaurant, but it's like, it's all lies with Ashley. And then she wants to point the finger at other people who are like, these seem like lies, or like, this seems like a crazy situation, and wants to like literally throw all the deepest shit about them. Like, I wonder what her sign is, because she goes low. She goes lower than anyone I've ever seen. I fucking can't stand her. Hate her face. I hate that she's there. And then she says to Katie, basically, she says, I don't think that you're emotionally, like, able, like, mature, basically, enough to be a part of this. And at this time, we know that Katie is going through, like, horrific custody battle. And I was sickened that she would even bring that up. It's like, yes, that might be a horrible toupee on her head. I will admit that. I love Katie, but I'll call a spade, and that is a horrible toupee. So yes, that may be true, but Katie is strong, as Karen said. Karen defended her. Thank you, Karen. And she's just saying the truth and being thrown under the bus by all of your fake friends. Nobody actually supports you, Ashley. You are a nightmare of a human being. I know that it's probably not your fault, and it's the fault of your father, who has never wanted to see you, and your mother, who uses you and is a psychopath. I know it's not your fault, but I just feel like she lives a fake life. Like, she sits on a throne of lies. I don't know what to tell you. I'm so fucking over it. I'm over Ashley Darby. I want to start like a GoFundMe to remove her from the show, to like pay Bravo to remove her from the show. I don't understand why we're still tolerating her and her molester husband. Whew.
Oh. You're not funny.
I am funny. I mean, I'm sorry if I said that you were dumb. Maybe I meant you're stupid. I don't know. So?
Are you kidding me?
No. So?
Not funny, Katie.
I am funny. I mean, I'm
She is funny. I love her. And Ashley is dumb and stupid. And with that, I will say goodbye until next week. I'll be talking about more Bachelor in Paradise. I'll be talking more Housewives. I'll be going over the Southern Charm reunion. And, you know, maybe we'll have more information about the death of Jeffrey Epstein. I'll be here to deliver all the tea. One recommendation I do want to give is to read the deposition of the Epstein victim's case, what is she suing? So she's suing the madam, Ghislaine Maxwell, for defamation, right? Because she said that she was a liar or something. And these unsealed documents and testimonies and depositions are beyond insane. Like, beyond, names are named, shit went down. So if you really want to get like the deep, deep, deep scope of the whole Epstein situation, I highly recommend reading the deposition. I think a lot of news sources publish it. I was able to find it quite easily. So please enjoy that and enjoy your week, everyone. This has been Mention It All. I'll see you next time.